Saudi Arabia is trying to make its mark in American sports and filmmaking. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and the Kingdom's Public Investment Fund recently signed a deal with the CW Network to air Live Golf, a rival to the PGA. Hollywood is filming more and more blockbusters in the region, and Saudi Arabia recently hosted a star-studded film festival featuring some of this year's Oscar nominees. Saudi Arabia faced pushback for its human rights record in the wake of the 2018 murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. But now that pushback seems to be waning as the country once again tries to make inroads into American entertainment. Joining us to talk about all of this is Alex Weprin. He covers business and the media for The Hollywood Reporter. Hi, Alex.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. So how long has this been going on, the Saudi push to invest in American entertainment?
It's been on and off for many years now. Obviously, after Khashoggi's murder, it did kind of stop. But in the last couple of years, really since the pandemic, it's picked up.
And give us a sense of the ties that they're trying to build, not just in American media, but also just more broadly Western media. We mentioned Live Golf's agreement with the CW. Soccer superstar Cristiano Ronaldo is coming to play for one of the country's teams for $200 million a year. What else are they investing in right now?
Yeah, so it's a combination of public investments and private investments. You know, on the public side, the Saudi Public Investment Fund is buying significant shares in companies like Live Nation, which owns Ticketmaster, and some video game companies like Take-Two Interactive and EA. And on the private side, as you said, they've kind of created Live Golf, this PGA competitor. They've financed the Red Sea Film Festival, which is a big film festival that's a priority in the country. They've provided credits to kind of make film and television productions in the country attractive. So they're kind of making a multifaceted push in both the private side of things with investments like Live Golf and the public sector by just buying stock in big American public companies.
And on the face of it, it seems kind of a head scratcher, I guess, because culturally, Saudi Arabia is a very conservative nation. It's very religious. Practices a strict form of Islam. It's a significant part of the country's identity. They're an autocratic state. It was only a few years ago even that women were allowed to start driving again. And Hollywood culture is not that. So explain the Saudi interest in Hollywood.
I mean, the Saudi crown prince, he's got an interest in kind of creating the future. He's got this mega city project in the country that he wants to be an idea for how cities should be in the future. He's very interested in Hollywood himself. He's interested in sports. Greg Norman, the legendary golfer who's the CEO of Live Golf, has said quite openly that the country views golf as kind of a form of diplomatic, it's kind of a part of diplomacy for them. So it's all part of the puzzle there. It's a priority for the crown prince, so it's a priority for the government.
The kind of winning hearts and minds, I guess, that will, you know, entice visitors, tourism, all that kind of stuff, right?
Exactly.
So beyond money, I mean, you mentioned the public investment fund. This is valued at hundreds of billions of dollars. What is the appeal of Saudi Arabia from Hollywood? Or does it really just boil down to the money?
You know, at this moment in time, you know, the pandemic really changed the equation for a lot of these companies. Money is necessary. And right now, with an uncertain economy, it can be hard to find financing. Debt financing is much harder to come by now. As a result, if there's an institution, and the PIF is a large institutional investor that has money and is willing to spend it, it can be appealing to a lot of companies. If you're kind of developing a feature film that is more of an independent mid-budget film, it can be hard to get that made, but Saudi Arabia is offering really, you know, interesting incentives to try and get it made in the country that can, you know, allow you to actually get it done. But it really is being driven by the finances.
You know, we mentioned the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, the journalist who wrote for The Washington Post. That was really a flashpoint in Hollywood's relationship with Saudi Arabia at the time. We saw a lot of people pulling out of their ties to the country. And you mentioned the pandemic as this big moment that changed that relationship. But what happened? I mean, how has that just been sort of cast aside? Might be a little bit flip, but what changed?
The pandemic forced these companies to really have to transform their businesses and figure out how to make it work when movie theaters were closed, when productions were shut down, when touring was shut down. So they needed financing, and Saudi Arabia was willing to step in and make these big investments into American companies. You know, as time goes on and we get further from Khashoggi's murder, it becomes a little easier to kind of put that aside and think about a deal in a moment of necessity. I don't think a lot of companies would be necessarily eager to do it, But if it's an opportunistic deal and it's needed to help save your business, companies will do it.
So is anyone significantly pushing back on this growing involvement, though? Because, I mean, Khashoggi's killing is just among the human rights violations that Saudi Arabia is accused of. It still jails dissidents. It's been accused of launching unlawful airstrikes that have killed and wounded thousands of people in Yemen amid an ongoing civil war there. Is anybody really voicing those concerns?
Yeah, I mean, I would look just to the LIV Golf deal with the CW network. The CW is owned by Nexstar, which is a big owner of local TV stations in the United States. They have thousands of journalists at those local TV stations. So the National Press Club, they urged Nexstar to, quote, do the right thing and cancel their bloody golf show. But thus far, at least with LIV Golf, you know, it hasn't really slowed them down. You know, the PGA Tour is pushing back, but the PGA's pushback is also opportunistic because LIV Golf is also challenging them on their business. So, you know, there is pushback, but thus far, it doesn't seem to be stopping any major deals from getting done.
Yeah, I mean, Nexstar didn't pull out, and there was an interview with the CEO of LIV, Greg Norman, and his quote was, I've been over there building a golf course in Saudi Arabia. Now this is way before any of this hoo-ha-ha erupted. I mean, that's feels a little bit dismissive of the murdering of a renowned journalist.
It is. And, you know, LIV has been able to build a business essentially by taking, you know, Greg Norman, who's a very famous golfer, and he's offered, you know, high eight-figure and nine-figure deals to some very famous golfers to have them leave the PGA and go to LIV. They're still taking those deals despite all of this.
So how is Saudi Arabia, I guess, and Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, how are they, I guess, I don't know, easing concerns that other Hollywood types might have? I mean, we mentioned the Red Sea Film Festival in the intro. This was this big Hollywood film festival that they just had. There was a star-studded red carpet there. So clearly something is working on their behalf. I mean, I know we talked a lot about the money, but people seem willing to kind of put their faces out there and say that they're, I guess, you know, willing to start looking at Saudi Arabia as a place for big budget movies and all of this stuff.
You know, Hollywood is no stranger to rehabilitating people that do not have the best reputations. As we've seen numerous times over the years, if you get the right people in the room, it can send a message to others in the business that, okay, maybe this is okay now. Maybe we can talk to them again. And so that seems to be what's happening.
So 10 years from now, will Saudi Arabia basically be like China, where they're funding a lot of American entertainment, movies are being crafted and re-edited in part to appeal to China? Is that kind of where you see things headed in the next decade?
It's certainly possible. One quirk with China is that there is legislation in Congress to try and stop Hollywood studios from working with any companies affiliated with the Chinese government, which is pretty much all of the entertainment companies in that country. But yeah, I mean, we are kind of shifting in that direction. You know, as the budgets get more expensive for films and TV shows, the desire to kind of make them work around the world could push more partnerships with other countries, including some that have values that really don't align with ours.
Alex Weprin is a media and business writer for The Hollywood Reporter. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you.
Guidelines from the American Academy of Pediatrics recommend earlier and more aggressive treatment for kids who are overweight. We'll talk to a doctor about them next on Press Play.